Good evening again, and praise be to the Lord. It's good to see many more faces this evening. Thank God for this time that we could come together again and open His Word and continue in the series that we've been having on the parables. So for today's portion, shall we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 12. Verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. And this is the parable of the rich fool. Let's begin reading. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.'" It's a very familiar parable that we have come across in the past. And, you know, as we've been meditating on this series, every parable has a very spiritual significance. There's a lot of lessons you can learn from these stories. But the story starts with an actual conversation between one of the persons from the crowd talking about inheritance. And as a background, we know the Jewish culture, when the father dies, the property or the inheritance are divided among the children. But the senior most or the oldest son would get double portion so that he has extra to take care of the mom and any unmarried sisters. So in this story, that is the context. It's not that the other brother did not get any inheritance, but the fact that he may have felt he got lesser than what he should have got. So there was a sense of discontentment by this person. And he came to the Lord and said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." So the answer by the Lord sounds very direct, and it sounds a little different than what he would have been expecting. "Who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" The Lord's mission on the earth was not about trying to solve issues among people, but more, he was on the earth talking about the kingdom to come. It is a spiritual message that he had. So this answer that he gave in verse 14 gives us the impression that he is not the person who should be around solving issues like that. But he also added this important verse in verse 15. "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And the second part is also very important to keep in mind. One's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. So when we talk about covetousness, you know, it's a very broad term, but in a simple definition, it's a strong desire to possess worldly things. That is what covetousness is all about. And there are many examples in scripture where people were looking for things and they were coveting things, and they actually fell into problems. For example, we know the story of Achan in the book of Joshua, where he saw some beautiful Babylonian treasures, and he decided to take them We see that in Joshua chapter 7. And we see that he has finally confessed, saying that I desired them and I took them. And he hid them in the earth in the midst of his tent. So we see an example of a person who was desiring for something that he should not be taking. And then we know a story of Gehazi, who is a servant of Elisha the prophet. When Naaman came to Elisha and offered him many different gifts, which Elisha promptly refused, but Gehazi thought maybe it's time for him to go and collect some of those. And he went after him and told him that Elisha changed his mind and he would like to get some gifts. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 5, and we know what happened to him. And he was accursed by what he did. And then we know the story of King Ahab in the book of 1 Kings 21, where he saw a vineyard which belonged to another person. He wanted to take it. And he took it by force after the direction of Queen Jezebel. But then what happened is that the Lord was pronouncing judgment on him, but eventually he repented of what he did. So covetousness is something that oftentimes we see among people. And even for us also, it's a lesson that sometimes we have a strong desire to take things more than what we need. It's like an attraction, something that we cannot control. So here in this story, the father left property, and then this person was complaining. And the Lord replied saying that, do not covet. And man's life is not consisting on the abundance of things he possesses. So a lesson that we can learn from this is that our happiness and comfort does not depend on a great deal of wealth that we can amass on the earth. A lot of the times people think, the more we can accumulate in the earth, the more we'll be happy. Wealth may dictate our prosperity, our happiness. But we know that happiness is not based on things that we possess. There are a lot of people who are happy who have very little things they have. So it is when people go after material things, it's always like a temptation. You keep going and going. You collect more and more. And a person will never get satisfied with what they have. So the Lord is warning this person, take heed, or in other words, beware of covetousness. Guard yourself from, or watch out and be on guard. Be careful, take care, and protect yourself. So those are the terms, things that we can think of when we talk about covetousness. And the reason is that one's life is not determined by the possessions he or she has. Life is not measured by the possessions that we have. Life is not always based on material things. And life is not defined by how much things we have in life. No, but this parable gives us a good lesson of a man. Now, as we read the story, it'll help us to judge and examine and see whether this person was happy to begin with or was he not happy at all. So this is where the story starts, with the parable about a certain rich man who had a ground who yielded plentifully. So in a paraphrase version, you can read like this: a farm of a rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself and said, what can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest. So then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather all my grain and goods. And I'll say to myself, self, you have done well. You have made it. Now you can retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life. So that is what we see in this portion, that this man had a very beautiful garden or a ground, which produce plentiful fruit, more than what he can even handle. So the fruitfulness of the earth is a blessing for us, but it can also be a snare. It can be a trap. And it depends on how we view life, how we view possession. Possessions can be a trap, but if you don't control it, he can come back and trap us and put us into this hole where we will keep going downhill. So this is a very productive land, a fertile land, bountiful crop, abundant harvest. So in verse 17, we see that this man is asking himself, what shall I do? So very interesting and question that he's asking himself. So right away, we can see that this man is not even thinking about thanking God for the blessings that he has been given. Instead, he's afflicting himself with the question and kind of the pain of his thought is that, what shall I do now? Now, he is more concerned. Instead of enjoying what he has, he is even more perplexed and more concerned about what he has and what can he do. So right away, we see that there is no sense of thankfulness, no sense of gratitude by this person. He is thinking about a bigger project. He's thinking about a life that will never end. He's talking about years ahead in the making, bigger barns, and even gathering more than what he can even have. So there's no question about his life coming to an end. He wants to enjoy his wealth. He wants to amass, get more wealth. And he wants to even pursue even the more. But the thing is that there's no guarantee that his crops will continue to flourish. He's thinking that all things will be good. His bonds will continue to be strong to hold even more things. So in a sense that he is living to collect and eat rather than eat to live. So he's thinking to himself and trying to reason and say that I don't have enough place for me to store my harvest. I need to tear down what I have. What a foolish decision that he's making, that he's thinking that he needs to tear down what he has, which is already doing pretty good, and then build bigger ones. So here we see two issues here. Number one, he's only thinking about himself. He's not thinking about collecting things so he can be a blessing to others. But he's only thinking about himself. How much can he have? A person even more and more collected. How much can he use all these? And number two, another issue that we see is that he's talking with 100% guarantee, certainty of what the future. So this person is not even thinking that danger is in the horizon. He's talking to his own soul, and he's playing judge and jury here. And he's saying to himself, you have laid up so much goods for many years, and you're a lucky man. So take it easy, retire, enjoy, drink, and be merry. So he is telling himself and reasoning as to what he has accomplished and what more he will be doing in the days ahead. But then we see here in verse 20 that we see God's sentence is very direct and immediate. It's a very powerful statement that God is sending to him, a message saying, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? The word fool, a lot of the times we think it's about just being foolish. But we know in Psalm 14, we see the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So this, here's a fool who is not thinking about a divine entity, a God who is up there, who has blessed him. But rather, he is only thinking about himself, very selfish. And God is pointing to him a lesson that he needs to learn, calling him by what he is, a person who is not even acknowledging that there is a God. And God is saying, this is the sentence which is going to be coming to you, very direct, very immediate. This night, your soul will be required. The question is that, who will own all that you have prepared? What a question this person never even thought of. He is not even thinking about his belongings is going to be taken by somebody else. He is thinking only about the years ahead of him where he can enjoy and have fun. But all of a sudden, we see this question mark before him, a sentence that God had pronounced, telling him that I will take your life tonight. Who will get everything you have worked? What a powerful question. It would have come to him like a shock. It would have hit him like a lightning bolt. That he never expected that his end is very near. Now, he is thinking about a life so much ahead. And then he came to his senses that God is telling him, it's almost like he is going at full speed. And he hit this big stop and he came crashing, stopping all of a sudden. And then he realized that he's leaving everything behind him. And then the question is that who is he leaving these things to? You know, that shows one's folly. The demonstration is one's folly, the folly of riches, the confidence of the foolish, which is like a paradox by itself. The foolish is confident of what he or she is doing. But this is where the riches can come and be a trap to anyone who pursues life in that confidence. In Psalm chapter 49, you can turn with me to that. Psalm chapter 49. This passage talks about the folly of people who continue to live like that. And a few verses I want to read from that passage. Verse 13. This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their saying. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. And then we see here, in verse 16, do not be afraid when one becomes rich, and the glory of his house, when the glory of his house is increased. When he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. What a sad plight that we see here. Person who's dying, and his belongings is going to go to someone else. So what the story teaches us is that we cannot be impressed with people who are getting rich and piling up a lot of belongings for themselves and trying to go after fame and fortune. And what happens in the end is that all they have is a ground where they will be lying dead. And someone else will take over what they have done. So the application is what we see in verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. What this lesson is teaching us is that this is what happens to those who store up things for themselves, but they are poor in the sight of God. They think they are rich in a material sense, but in a godly sense, they are not, because there's no richness in a relationship with God. They are pursuing only material riches, but he or she is not rich in their relationship with God. And this is what happens to people who accumulate a lot of assets for themselves, but there's nothing for them to show for eternity. Now, Job, in the book of Job, chapter 1, we see Job replying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is how a man's life is. You come naked and you leave naked. There's nothing you can take from here. All that we amass for ourselves and serve is all left behind. And we leave with nothing in our hand. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11. We see here, as a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It'll leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end, he will be a fool. So making provisions just for the flesh, in the end, what happens is that there's no eternity for us. This is the description of a worldly. It is a lesson for each one of us, even as believers. Sometimes we get caught up in this materialistic lifestyle where we try to lay up treasure for ourselves in the earth, but nothing to show when we leave the earth. And people pursuing wealth in this present world rather than pursuing wealth in the world to come. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the question that we can ask ourselves is that, where is our treasure? What are we trying to do on the earth? Are we trying to collect and amass and get more things on this earth? Or are we working towards the world to come? As we were singing earlier, thou my everlasting portion. This is how the songwriter says, on this pilgrim journey, let me walk close to thee. You know, that is the mentality of a Christian pilgrim. Walking close to God and knowing that God is our everlasting hope. So what is the cure for covetousness? This is where we come back to the main topic again, where God, the Lord is saying, beware of covetousness. What is the cure for that? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Apostle Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing. Then he talks about the love of money is the root of all. But that first phrase really has caught my attention years ago when I was reading that. Godliness with contentment, great gain. To be content with godliness, that is exactly what a believer should aspire for. Be content with what we have. If you look at people around us, there are some people who has nothing in life, but they are very content. They don't have to worry about who's going to take over the things that they hold on to. Is somebody coming over to steal? They have nothing for people to steal. A lot of the times, the people who cannot sleep are the ones who have amassed a lot of treasure. If they are worried about who would come and take what they have. So if we can consciously be aware of what God has done for us, we can safeguard our heart against covetousness. If we continue to live our lives on earth, thinking about the world to come and investing in the world to come, this is how we can prepare ourselves for the next world. But rather, people get caught up in this world and they cannot lose themselves with the bounds of what these worldly things are entangling them. So the lesson we can learn from this is that covetousness is something that we all encounter. We have to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of being greedy for even the more. But on the other hand, to be godly, to be content, is what God is expecting of us. So we can work towards the kingdom that is come. What we have is not ours. As this man was thinking about what he has amassed and telling himself, what a great job that I've done. And that is a foolish way of seeing things. But what we have is what God has given us. So with great things comes responsibility. And that is up to us to think, what are we doing with what we have? Are we using it for God's glory, for God's kingdom's advancement? Or are we keeping it for ourselves and being selfish, not letting it go? May the Lord help us to think about heavenly things and do more for the kingdom of God, invest more for eternity. By doing that, we are preparing ourselves for the world to come. And we are using our talents, our treasures, our time for the glory of God and for the kingdom. And that way we can bring more people to God's side. May God help us to do that as believers. A lesson that we can learn is not to go after fleeting things of the world, but rather go after eternal things. Keep our minds on eternal things. Set our heart on things above. for our citizenship is in heaven, looking forward to the Lord's return. So let us continue to do more things for the Lord with what God has given us. May his name be praised.